Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
In the studio with us right now, he is a legend from Dunedin music and I guess New Zealand music history broadly. We have Steve Young from Mother Goose in the studio. Whoa, wrong song. Here to talk about their retrospective gig and anniversary gig at the Dunedin Folk Club later in the week. Good morning to you, Steve. How are we?
I'm just fine, Zach. How are you?
You're chilling like a villain.
Absolutely.
I'm glad
to
hear.
Nice to be here. It's the first time I've been on radio for a long time, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, oh, it's good to have you, man. And funnily enough, I was looking through some photos of Mother Goose from the 70s and the 80s.
Yep.
You had a big, beautiful beard, man.
I did.
What happened to that thing? Where's it gone?
Well, I cut it off quite some time after that. It lasted quite a long time. Mm. My kids can sort of remember hiding underneath it. Four at a time. Not quite that much, but I just got sick of it.
No, fair enough. I imagine it was quite a lot of admin.
No, it wasn't. That was the point. It
really?
Just grew.
Really, really, really?
It just grew.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
True, because nowadays...
No admin whatsoever, apart from washing it. There was nothing. I just never took care of it at all.
Wow.
People thought I was very vain and really proud of it. I wasn't. It just grew. I hated shaving when I was young.
Yeah, shaving's not fun. Is it because you have sensitive skin?
No,
or because it's a process.
Because I hated shaving.
Yeah, fair enough. fair enough.
Boring.
How long do you think it got? Because in some of the photos, it looked like it was down to like...
This question's getting silly here. I think it was dragging down the street behind me for a while there.
Oh, it was incredible, man. Oh, it was incredible. You're probably most well known for being a musician, but you also had a video production company.
I did.
And you worked a lot with TV3. How did you get into doing that work?
Well, I came back from Mother Goose and started a few bands and booked a few gigs, did lots of things just to make a living. Mm-hmm. But having four kids, I couldn't sustain it really. So I just got together with a mate and we decided to start a production studio.
Mm.
And
just like that?
Yeah, pretty much just like that. It cost us a lot of money, but I had a bit, which is great, from Mother Goose, mm-hmm. etc.
Mm-hmm.
And we started it up, and our first ever job, I think, was to do the Pink Frost film clip for Martin Phillips.
Oh, wow.
And for that, we were paid the princely sum of one bottle of scotch. Of which Martin, I think, drank half of.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Have you been to see the Pink Frost exhibit in the museum?
I know it all.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Well, no, I haven't is the answer.
It's
I've been playing Pink Frost in Toitū for many years, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
So that was our first ever job.
Nice. Oh, that's a good first job to have.
But, of course, you know, bottles of scotch can't feed four kids either, or preferably not.
Right.
So we started doing a lot of TV commercials and videos. And, you know, that company, I closed that company down 29 years later. So I was with it for a long time.
Mm. And you used to feature your kids in the ads, I believe?
Occasionally. Have you heard something, have you?
I might have heard something.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yes, though, if I was going to hire a child model, I may as well give the kids some pocket money.
Mm-hmm.
They got paid a whole lot less than most models, but that was just what it was.
Fair enough. They're going to be on TV. They should be happy with that. In Mother Goose, you were quite renowned for wearing all manner of costumes at different concerts.
Yeah.
Do you still have many of them?
I've got the tutu. I've got the tutu sitting downstairs somewhere, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't put it on often, to be fair.
Only on
and I won't be
occasions.
Wearing it on Sunday night.
No, that's very, very fair. But most of the costumes are just scattered to history?
Well, if you want the honest answer, we worked so hard on stage that most of them actually rotted off.
Really?
Because we were an incredibly hard-working band. We only did an hour and a half a night because we just... The whole thing was just hugely physical and draining, especially in the heat of Australia, etc. And so the guitarists and the singer, I mean, it's a horrible thing to talk about, but our dressing room used to stink because we didn't have enough time to wash them between gigs or anything like that. And so some of them would literally rot off the guys and tear on stage. That's how... Horrible. That's how hard we worked, basically.
That's nuts.
It was nuts. That was great, but it was nuts.
This year's been a big kind of retrospective year for a lot of New Zealand music. There's been a really cool book about New Zealand pop music come out. There's been the Shane Carter documentary. Yes. There's been a Chris Knox biography came out. Mm-hmm. And kind of a trend I've noticed with a lot of Dunedin bands, especially during the 80s, is they're reacting to Dunedin's darkness, the sort of middling economic growth. There's a lot of heavy drinking, a lot of normalised violence. Do you think that those elements influenced you much at all?
Not the normalised violence, I can't remember. I mean, admittedly, we got together in 75, which is way before those people you're talking about.
Yeah.
I certainly do remember the drinking and a few other things. I don't know. I think people read too much into a lot of Dunedin's physical characteristics and all sorts of other characteristics. I think the university has a lot to do with it. It certainly had a lot to do with the forming of Mother Goose. Craig Johnston, the singer of Mother Goose, and I met at university, talked about music for 18 months, and then couldn't wait to get out of the place, mm-hmm. and we did, and all our ideas came to fruition. So I think Otago University has a lot to do with it.
Mm.
Maybe not directly, but more indirectly, because being at university just seems to imbue confidence in people. I don't know. I really don't know. I think it is just a happy happenstance, if that's a word, that so much good things come out, so many good things come out of Dunedin.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Stephen Steadman, who once told me, is we really broke out in the 70s, and up to that point, there'd been lots of wonderful Dunedin bands, but they never got any recognition north of Oamaru. And it's still the way to a certain extent. But Stephen Steadman said that he heard that a lot of the Flying Nun bands that came along afterwards, and they were wonderful, looked at us and said, well, if those bloody idiots can do it, we can do it. Not that they were perhaps as ambitious as we were or whatever, but I love that. I mean, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it's a nice thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know? And Martin kind of said that to me and a few others, which was really nice because, you know, they did so well, those guys.
Mm. One of the reasons maybe why Dunedin didn't get so much recognition was because, I from reading that Chris Knox biography, it seems that there wasn't a proper recording studio in Dunedin until maybe like 1980 or the very late 70s. Do you think that might have stifled kind of Dunedin's music development?
Not really, because in fact, before those times, it was actually worse. But one of the reasons we gave up on New Zealand very quickly and went to Australia was that there were only a couple of record companies in the country. EMI was the main one.
Mm.
And what would happen, and we had a contract placed right in front of us for EMI, and we had to go and tell Alan Galbraith, no, we're not signing this, we're going to Australia.
Mm.
Because what would happen, and nothing on Alan Galbraith, he was a great producer, but what would happen was that they would take a band and give them a song from overseas and say, this will make you pop stars in New Zealand for 5 minutes, which is what happened.
Mm.
And we refused to play that game. And, you know, EMI would get you on some stupid talent quest on TV.
Mm.
I remember seeing Dragon and Split Ends on those talent quests, and they were all patronised to bits on it by the so-called judges.
Mm.
And we just didn't want a bar of any of that. So, you know, I think things were worse, to be honest. I disagree with Chris Knox. I think things were worse because you had to go to Wellington and become the latest pop star in New Zealand to get even to make a record.
Mm.
And, you know, I think he and other people just had their wee four tracks, and that's still happening to this day. I know there's great recording studios in Dunedin now and all over the place, and, of course, it's all digital and anyone can afford to do it. But I think it's a lot different, and I think that was part of the reason why the Flying Nun brothers and sisters did well, is that they refused to play that game like we refuse to play that game.
Mm, mm. Your band Mother Goose occupies a very enigmatic place in Dunedin and New Zealand music history. You emerged at a time when acts like Dragon and Split Ends, as you mentioned before, were dominating. The Dudes also began around a similar time, and you began with a silly song about baked beans.
Mm.
Looking back, what do you make of Mother Goose's place in New Zealand music?
Oh, I don't care, to be honest. I seriously don't care.
I think there's so much to respect, though, right?
Well, I know what we achieved.
Yeah.
I know what we achieved. We achieved extraordinary success in Australia. Mm. I mean, in 1977, you couldn't even talk about any other band, including all the Australian bands.
Yeah, what, Midnight Oil and a few other bands used to open for you?
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's something to be very proud about.
Well, yeah, but you can overstate that. I mean, almost every big Australian band from 77 on used to open for us just to get exposure, you know. And but that's as it is, you know. I'm and then we went to America like a lot of people, a lot of bands do, and, you know, we went a long way there, but not far enough, if you know what I mean. It's all run by mafia, and it's very, very difficult.
Mm.
And we failed pretty much like every other Australasian band failed in America, apart from Crowded House, but that's a special case. So, you know, what was your question again?
Well, looking back, what do you make of Mother Goose's place in New Zealand music history?
I would say most people up north would say irrelevant.
Mm. Well, I think it's a testament to, like, being a professional musician, though, because you did very well in Australia.
Yeah, but, I mean, we were so different. We were so different. I mean, we were, it sounds like an odd thing to say, but we were more punk than most punk bands because we just rejected everything that the music industry was about.
Yeah.
And even the so-called rebels of New Zealand music, they behaved themselves something awful, you know, to get where they ended up going. So we just rejected everything. And that's, you know, even in America, we were six polite boys from Dunedin, and someone would stuff a contract under our nose and say, sign here, major pressure. And we'd just say, oh, no, thanks very much. We were always in control, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Mm.
And we made a lot of money. Not that that's what it was about. We never set out to try and make a lot of money, but we made a lot of money out of Australia.
You also had integrity there, and I think those two things are very hard to come by, especially when you get to those big levels. And in saying that you're very one of one, you're more punk than other punk bands, I think that's very kind of you kind of represent a similar energy that Monty Python represents. You know. Kind of absurdist,
Well, that's right. I mean, a lot of Monty Python were a huge influence on us because, you know, New Zealand was such a straight country in the mid 70s.
It was very boring.
It was like living in Albania.
Yeah.
and so we just rejected all of that and just got on with it.
And this is just a curious question I had. But was Muldoon's sales tax a thing that affected you guys at all?
You know, that still affected us. It affected me after I'd finished with Mother Goose, believe it or not, because I came home in 1981 and I started a band with one of the guys. I think he's listening now. He's playing with us on Sunday night, John Fielding. The band was called Beats Working because we didn't want to get a job. I came up with this brilliant idea of putting out a record. I remember the name, but we recorded it on my four-track. And giving it away at gigs rather than selling it.
Oh.
And then we were informed that we couldn't give it away without paying sales tax to the government.
Wow.
So we weren't even allowed to give away
the
record.
That's insane.
It's insane.
It is so silly.
It's such a different time.
Yeah.
So we just survived all the way through that. Things aren't perfect now, but boy, they're better than they were then.
Well, the reason I kind of bring it up is the band The Knobs, their song Culture.
Yeah.
Quite silly and quite playful in a similar way that Mother Goose was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. It's the Fogarty Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. Do you reckon that younger bands should go on an OE and experience making music in another country and experience navigating their industry as you guys did?
Well, it's not for me to make a recommendation. I mean, every band, every muso has got a stiff uphill climb, even if they're not after fame and fortune, and they've just got to make sense of their own situation. We jumped over so many hoops to get to where we were. I could bore you for an hour talking about all the obstacles that we jumped over, but you know, you just got to face things. I think the great thing about bands is that you are free. It's a wonderful freedom to be in any sort of band, and you can just get out there and do what you want, as long as it's legal and reasonably moral.
Yeah, within reason. You've been recording some new stuff lately, like the track Lonely Girls, which we'll be playing in a matter of minutes. How does it feel to be back into making songs again?
It's great. Well, I have to add, that's actually an old Mother Goose song.
Oh, that's not Mother Goose?
Yeah, it was a hit in Australia.
I'm so sorry.
But that recording the recording you've got is the band.
Yeah, because it sounded very new.
It's not Mother Goose playing on Sunday, obviously. It's Dennis, the bass player of Mother Goose, and me, plus John Fielding, who's my old mate from many years ago, and my old mate Rob Pickett from even longer ago. Rob was my first ever musical collaborator when we were 16.
Wow.
So we've got four just really good old mates, and that's why I've called it Stephen Young and, and his old mates. You know, it's wonderful.
It's very, very exciting.
Great playing with it. And yes, we're recording some of the old songs and a lot of new ones.
Cool.
But the new ones haven't been mixed yet, so that's why I gave you those two songs. They're old, but they are the band that's playing on Sunday night.
That's very, very exciting stuff, man. And it's cool to have you back on the scene. Can people expect to hear more from you in the future? Do you have plans to release an EP or an album?
Well, yes, although I've got to get into the 21st century and decide how I'm going to release it because, you know, you don't make any money. Not that that's what I'm after at my age, but it doesn't. I really don't know how. I think I'm going to give it away, so it will be made available to people that want to like the songs and want to hear it. But I think somehow I'll just give it away by putting it on my website or Spotify or whatever it might be.
Well, Bandcamp has free.
Yeah, that's right.
Put up for free on Bandcamp.
I'll do something like that. I haven't even looked at it properly. I'm going to get. So there will be some sort of album put out in the new year. How it's accessed, I don't know yet.
Do you have any plans to put the old Mother Goose catalogue on streaming?
It's there.
It's there.
Craig Johnston, the singer.
Because I couldn't find it on Tidal, which is the one I use.
There's a record company called Laneways in Australia. And Craig remastered all the old Mother Goose stuff and put it all on there.
Right.
And I think it's on Spotify. I don't know. I'm way out of touch. Deliberately way out of touch.
Fair enough. Well, it's going to be very exciting. You're going to be playing at the Dunedin Folk Club this Hanare Sunday with all those cool people. And that's happening at approximately 7:30 p.m. with Rob Pigott, Dennis Gibbons, and John Fielding. It's $10 for members, $15 for non-members. Thank you very much for your time, Steve.
Thanks, Zach.
Do you have any final words or thoughts to leave our lovely listeners with?
If there's any new bands out there, get out and play. Get out and play. You're great.
Amen to that. Build your confidence and have a fun time.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, that was Steve Young from Mother Goose. We're talking to him about his a big retrospective on the band Mother Goose and their gig that's happening this Sunday at the Dunedin Folk Club. Joining me very shortly at 10:30, we have one last kororo today. We have Lawrence Arabia coming on to talk about his show at Pearl Diver and his eventual return into an album cycle. Here is Lonely Girls from Mother Goose. We're playing this track and then River Don't Run. You are indeed listening to The One. Keep it bloody locked.
Steve's, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.